Aftermath, good evening. I hope everyone is well. Please feel free to identify yourself. You just need to speak out. There's no need to press star six. Although,
this is Batya Morris.
How are you, Batya?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing good, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing well.
This is Mara. How is everybody?
Hello.
Baruch Hashem, just Batya's in New York and Mara's in Tucson.
Ah.
You're both welcome. Just want to check to see if there's anybody that might want to be on that.
I'm getting a lot of interference.
All right, I'll change the controls. In order to ask a question, you'll need to press star six. The interference should be gone, and whenever you need to ask a question, just go ahead and press star six and then speak into the phone. Jack, did you want to join us for the class on tshuva, or pass?
No, my daughter's here.
Okay. Speak to you soon. Okay, everybody, please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa. Ana Bekoa. Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor, Dor Shechutcha, Kevavat, Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kav Shin. Barchem Tacharem, Rakame Sukatcha, Tamid Gamaim Betet Resh Sadi Taf Kimmel. The letters of the month, the Kaf that created the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion Leo. Chasin Kadosh Biro Tucha Na'el Adatach Chet Kuf Bet Zet Nunayin Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyutav. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm reading from the Parasha of Vayechanan. And I'm reading now from the Zohar, from section 27 of titled Face to Say Face. And I'm reading verse 163. Vayino amadonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseyadeinu konenei aleinu maaseyadeinu konenehu. Patachahu gavra v'yamar v'dibayar Hashem el Moshe panim el panim ka'asher yedaber gegomer haikira alav rashay sefei vilav sefei reshay vila mila da kimla da kegad kad meta vidaber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim shipet shapir levatar v'shev el hamachane levatar sharato Yehoshua bin Nun Na'ar Nahu Amar Rabbi Elazar V'day Kudsha Barichu Hu Itre'e Bikara Dilan Dechashta Zivuga Dilan Bishkinta Ushkinta La'itade Minan Man Defatach Bitcha Lema Mila. The man began by saying, and Hashem spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks. In this verse, the beginning does not fit the end, nor does the end the beginning. A word does not fit with another. For at first it says, and Hashem spoke to Moses face to face, which is well. Then it says, and he turned back to the camp, which is not connected with, and the first part of the verse, and Hashem spoke. Then, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, what does that mean? It has no connection to, and he turned back to the camp. Rabbi Elazar said, surely the Holy One, blessed be He, wishes to honor us. For now we are connected with the Shekhinah, who shall not leave us. Whoever opened this opening, let him speak. The verse in the Zohar is starting out a section explaining a verse in the Torah that has some real inconsistencies. And the inconsistencies are specified in the verse in the Zohar, because the first part of the verse doesn't really connect to what the rest of the verse. The beginning doesn't connect to the end of the verse, and the end of the verse doesn't connect to the beginning, and it's very confusing. And really, what is the idea of speaking face to face with Hashem when Hashem? You know, we know that Hashem doesn't have a body in the context of the human body. So what does it mean for Hashem to have a face? And all of these points and items of questions are going to be discussed in this section of the Zohar. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we begin? Okay. Tonight's class, this class is an advanced class. We've been doing astrology, and we have a couple of classes under our belt on astrology. But we're now entered into an astrological period that is unique and special, and it takes a lot of discussion not about the astrology per se, but about what this period is about. So this is actually the second class in this series. The first class I did on Tuesday evening, and I sent out a recording of that class. And we're going to go through the same material, but in a different way. The first class, the recording that you've already received, I'll tell you where the material is in the handout so that you can read that privately on your own. And we'll continue from there. But before we start even that, let me first tell you where the handout is located on the Hashem website. The handout is located at the Revealed Wisdom section of the Hashem website. So you go to www.yeshem.com. And at the top, there's the words Revealed Wisdom, which is a link to another page. Click on that link. When it opens up, scroll down to the matrix. Now, there's four columns in that matrix. The second column from the left says Advanced Classes. If you go down to the eighth row, it will say Advanced Classes for Teshuvah. If you click on that link, the first item that opens, when you click on that link, it opens to a page that says Advanced Class Teshuvah. And the first thing it says is handouts. And it says Class 1 Teshuvah, Definition and Initial Discussion. And that's the handout we'll be dealing with tonight. Now, tonight is a holiday. Tonight is an amazing astrological event. It's an amazing positive energy. And what it actually is the month of Av, the month of Leo, the constellation of Aries. The month of Av was created by the sun. And tonight is the full moon for the month of Av. Now, every Hebrew month, on the 15th day of that month, is the full moon. And the energy of the full moon is a complete sharing of all of the energy from the sun with the moon, who is capable of receiving all of that energy. As we know, the moon cycles. It starts at the new moon when it's dark, and it cycles up, it waxes up to the full moon, and then wanes down to the new moon. 15 days of up and 15 days of down, meaning lessening of the energy. Now, the way the moon reflects the energy of the sun, the waxing and the waning is an effect of the true astrological influences between the sun and the moon, which represent Zeranpin and Malchut. This month, being Av, being created by the sun, is the true essence of male energy. The moon is the true essence of female energy. On the full moon of the month of Av, we have a complete unification, intercourse, sexual intercourse. Zivug is the Hebrew word. We have a complete zivug of male energy with female energy, of sharing and receiving. This is the energy that is in the cosmos tonight and tomorrow, leading into the Shabbat of comfort called the Beit Hanan. The Shabbat of Comfort is the first of seven Shabbats dealing with the concept of comfort leading up to the judgment day of the new year of Rosh Hashanah. All of this is astrological information. All of this is astrological impacts. All of this is telling us as an effect of the energy in the universe. And we're going to discuss over the next 7 weeks these different aspects. The first thing we're going to discuss is Teshuvah. Why is that the first thing we're going to discuss? You have to wait and see what we say today. Are there any questions before I start reading from the handout? This period, from now until Rosh Hashanah, is called the Zeman Teshuvah. It translates as a period of Teshuvah. Actually, it also translates, because the word Zeman means a period of time, but it also implies an opportunity. So it translates as an opportunity for Teshuvah. I haven't defined Teshuvah yet, but everybody thinks they know what Teshuvah means, because it's always translated as repentance. And most people just accept that translation. Many people don't even know what the concept of repentance is. They'll answer, it means I'm sorry, I'm feeling badly about something I've done, and I'd appreciate it would go away. I want to make amends. I didn't really mean to do it. I'm sorry it happened. This is the expression and the meaning for most people of what repentance and Teshuvah is all about. But we're going to find out tonight it's quite different than that. The translation of Teshuvah as repentance is a corruption. It's not really touching on what the Hebrew means. It is meant to translate as return the hay, or return to Hashem. Tashuv hay is the way Teshuvah is spelled. Tashuv is the Hebrew word that means return. Tashuv hay, return the hay. Excuse me one second. I'm in the middle of the class, Jack, just letting you know. We need to know one thing when we're talking about Teshuvah, returning the hay. There's a metaphor that has always been explained that when someone does a negative action, they metaphorically are separating the letters of the name of the Tetragrammaton, of the name of Hashem. They're separating the lower hay from the other three letters, from the spiritual level letters. The physical letters are being separated, and thus the flow of beneficence that comes from the spiritual is being impacted. That's the idea of returning the hay and why it said returning to Hashem. Because doing Teshuvah, as we will come to understand, doing Teshuvah returns that lower lay, lo- pay and reactivates the flow of beneficence from the spiritual to the physical. I've described it as a metaphor, but it is much more than a metaphor. It is actually the way the spiritual system works. Because human beings are that powerful. Our words and our actions impact many more areas of the universe than we think, than we anticipate. And this is part of what it grows up as we grow up from a child to an adult. The child impacts their parents' world much more powerfully than the child realizes. And that's really what is happening with us, because we are children learning in this playground we call the physical world how to be an adult. Continuing to read, we need to know one thing that the Kabbalah teaches in order to start on the path of Teshuvah. The one thing is that the Midrash teaches that there are seven things created prior to creation. One of these things that were created prior to creation is Teshuvah. This is an amazing teaching, an amazing lesson, because it means that man is supposed to, expected to, make mistakes, or using the religious language, to do a sin. The question is, why did Hashem expect man to make mistakes? One answer is that there is only one way to learn. We learn from our mistakes. Wait a second. Don't we also learn from books and teachers? Don't we learn what is the right thing to do from these other ways of learning? The answer is expressed in the Talmud in the section called the Pirkei Avot, which lists 48 ways to acquire Torah. Doesn't say 48 ways to learn Torah. It says to acquire Torah, meaning to assimilate Torah into your soul. Learning from books and teachers is a lower level, making a mistake and acquiring that memory to not do that mistake again. Another reason that Teshuvah was created prior to the creation of the world has to do with the cause and effect involved with reincarnation. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that the reason someone develops a hatred for another is because they have the soul spark of that person captured within their own negativity. That is the reason the mistake is made with respect to the other person. And then Teshuvah allows the release of that soul spark. This was the relationship between the Baal Shem Tov and the Gaon de Vilna that caused the Gaon to excommunicate the Baal Shem Tov for a short period of time. This teaching comes through the book, You Are Who You Hate, by Sarah Rigler. I think that's her name. I also read this morning, coincidentally, and we know there's no coincidence, I read this morning a short sentence or two from Yehuda Berg of the Kabbalah Learning Center, in which he said quite clearly in modern language that when you get angry, your soul leaves your body and becomes captured by the person that you're angry with. When you get angry, your soul becomes captured by the other person, which is essentially what the Baal Shem Tov was teaching. And it's an amazing lesson that we will discuss as we go through the teaching of Teshuvah. Probably not tonight. But Teshuvah is not something that can be covered in one class, or even in two or three. This is Zaman Teshuvah. This is the period of time, the opportunity to return to Hashem. What period of time am I referring to? The 10 weeks from Shabbat Nachanu until Shabbat Bereshit. Most of these 10 weeks are included in the months of Elul and Tishrei. Why are these 2 months that opportunity to return to God? One physical reason is that Elul is the 6th month of the Hebrew calendar year, and Tishrei is the 7th month. The 7th month is Malchut in the frame of the Sefirot, while Elul is Yesod, the 6th Sefirot. Yesod and Malchut are meant to be in continuous zivug, continuous intercourse with each other. When we do a mistake, the separation that takes place is between Yesod and Malchut. On one level, a portion of Yesod never breaks, never leaves Malchut. They are always connected. And on another level, when we do a sin, when we do a mistake, the Yesod breaks. Part of it stays with the Malchut, but the rest of it breaks and remains above with the other worlds. Malchut and Yesod are affected by man's actions. They are not in continuous zivug due to these mistakes. Yet man's mistakes are an illusion, so they are always in continuous zivug. Understanding this metaphor of the male organ of Yesod, which has 2 components, that of the crown and that of the stem. This is where the break metaphorically takes place. And I will be teaching these 2 months of Elul and Tishrei, both separate and unified. As you can see from the handout, Tashuva, is written in the Hebrew letters very clearly. The handout goes through 2 links, defining Teshuvah, discussing Teshuvah, and the Haftorah of Shabbat Teshuvah, which is the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In my first class that you've received the recording on, I read those 2 links. They're very beautiful. They're very detailed. And they're clearly important in order for you to understand Teshuvah. Please take the time away from this class to read those 2 links. You'll have questions. Feel free to answer, to write me or to call me so that I can answer you them. But I'm now going to start to continue discussing the Haftorah that comes from Shabbat Teshuvah. There was some clicking, so did somebody have a question? I'm not hearing any, so if you do have it, please write it down, and I will, at the end of the class, give you time to ask those questions in case The technology isn't working properly. Let's take a look at this Haftorah of Shabbat Tshuva and what it teaches us about Teshuvah. The scroll of the Haftorah, and every Navi, every prophet, has a scroll, just like the Torah scroll. And there are spaces in that scroll, and there are large letters and small letters, and normal-sized letters. And this is all part of the energy and the teaching of the prophet. The scroll actually has an opening indicating a paragraph that starts at verse 2 and finishes at verse 10. Then there are three additional verses added to the Haftorah, which we do not need to review here. So I've given you the translation of chapter 14 of Hosea from verse 2 to verse 10. These nine verses is teaching us about Teshuvah. I'm just giving you the English translation. Verse 2, "Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity." My commentary, the first word is return, which indicates to us the procedure of Teshuvah. Teshuvah begins here with the confession of our stumble or our mistake. Verse 3, "Take with you words and return unto the Lord. Say unto him, forgive all iniquity and accept that which is good. So will we render for bullocks the offering of our lips." My commentary, speak words is the road to return to Hashem. Our lips will deliver our sacrifice. And Hashem will know that our remorse is good. Good is a very central teaching in Kabbalah, in the Torah. What does God say? He saw that the light was good. Good is an energy that takes a lot of understanding, and tonight we're not going to go into that. But understand from the readings of the verse, it's teaching us that we need to speak words. We need to express ourselves verbally as the way to return to Hashem. And by doing so, our lips deliver our sacrifice. Our lips express our sacrifice. And by that expression, Hashem knows that our return is valid, is good. Verse 4, "Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we call any more the work of our hands our gods. For in thee the fatherless find mercy." The word horse, Zeus, Samach Vav Samach in Torah, is a code word for the physical world. Ashur is a code word for mental and logic, for the intellect. Our mistake cannot be corrected by logic or physical actions. We must connect to our Father, who is Hashem. We must return to our Father, who is Hashem. Verse 5, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him." my commentary. Once we start the words, Hashem will help complete the healing of the world that is needed due to our mistake. Backsliding is referring to the concept of back to the future, which we will touch on tonight and probably explain in more detail, we'll definitely explain in more detail in other classes. Verse 6, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall blossom as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. These are all code words. Dew is a code word for the coming of Mashiach. The lily is a reference to Israel after Mashiach. Lebanon is indicating our emotions will be corrected. Verse 7, his branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his fragrance as Lebanon. This verse refers to the process of peace evolving from the Teshuvah of the nation of Israel. Teshuvah needs to be done individually for individual actions. And it also needs to be done as a tribe for tribal actions and for the nation, for nation actions the nation has done. There are many different levels of Teshuvah. We'll come to understand this as we go on. Verse 8, they that dwell under his shadow shall again make corn to grow, and shall blossom as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. This verse is explaining the relationship between the human species and their souls, along with the other species created by Hashem. The verse is talking about the different entities that we meet when we cross over following the chariot, the workings of the chariot in our meditation. You hear many people saying in the New Age world that they're channeling these positive entities. There's a big dispute as to whether these entities are positive. I don't really want to go into that, but understand these entities were created by Hashem as well. And the verse is explaining the relationship. Verse 9, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? As for me, I respond and look on him. I am like a leafy cypress tree. From me is thy fruit found. This verse is referring to the return of the 10 lost tribes and their return to Hashem. After Israel, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin does its teshuvah. Verse 10, whoso is wise, let him understand these things. Whoso is prudent, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just do walk in them, but transgressors do stumble therein. This verse is referring to the restoration of the tree of life and putting all of the Sephirot into their correct relationships with each other. This next section is various sages and their writings on what is Teshuvah and what is the process of Teshuvah. In the second chapter of Hilchot Teshuvah, the Rambam, Rabbi Moses Maimonides, describes the way a person should conduct himself as part of the process of repentance. I copied this from a website, and on that website is a 10-second audio describing this phrase in Hebrew, so I left the audio in. If you want to know the website, give me a call, and I'll let you know where to listen to it. A penitent sinner should accustom himself to cry and pray to God for forgiveness. Donate money to charity to the greatest possible extent, and distance himself from the matter regarding which he had committed the sin. Additionally, under certain circumstances, it is advisable for a person to go so far as to change his name in order to convey to himself the psychological message that he is no longer the same person as the one who had transgressed. Finally, the Rambam writes that galut, literally exile or relocation, is a beneficial means of atonement. Taking residence in a new area often has the effect of humbling and subduing one's character. And it is thus recommended under certain situations for sinners to relocate. It has been explained that this notion underlies the mitzvah to reside in a sukkah for a week after Yom Kippur, as part of our process of teshuvah. We leave the comfort and security of our homes and experiencing the instability of the sukkah, which causes us a sense of humility and helps us correct the flaws in our character. You can see from this paragraph, the Rambam is teaching us that Teshuvah is not just the month of Elul, but flows all the way through the Sukkah, Sukkot, which is to the 22nd day of Tishrei. In the next halakha, the Rambam addresses the issue of whether it is appropriate to publicize one's sin in order to subject himself to shame as part of the teshuvah process. The Rambam distinguishes in this regard between offenses committed against one's fellow and sins committed solely against the Almighty. In the case of interpersonal offenses, the Rambam rules that one should in fact publicly confess and express his contrition, and one who refuses to do so does not achieve complete teshuvah. When it comes, however, to sins committed solely against God, the Rambam writes that one should not make public mention of his sins. And publicizing one's sins against God is in fact deemed brazen. One may refer in a general sense in public to his having acted wrongly, but specifying one's sins in public is improper. So we see from this that there are two different types of sins, one against God and one against man. And they need to be dealt with differently. But my personal teaching in our generation, when we do a sin against God, we are at the same time sinning against the nation. Because the sin against someone else is causing us to not achieve our tikkun, our correction, and therefore causing a delay in the manifestation of the Mashiach. So they're all intertwined. The Rambam's ruling is based upon the Gemara's discussion of this pocket of this topic in Masechet Yoma, part of the Talmud. The Gemara cites two verses which appear to lead to conflicting conclusions. One verse indicates that publicizing one's sin is laudable, while the other advocates keeping this information private. The Gemara offers two approaches to reconcile these verses, one of which forms the basis of the Rambam's ruling, distinguishing between sins committed against God and interpersonal offenses. In addition, however, the Gemara suggests distinguishing between situations where the sin has already been made public and cases where there is no public knowledge of the act. If the public is already aware of the sin, then the sinner should make public the fact that he regrets the act and has performed teshuvah. If, however, the sin has not been publicized, then one should not make it public as part of his repentance. Accordingly, the Ravad, Rabbi Avraham ben David, in his critique of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, notes that even if one committed a sin solely against God, he must publicly confess to his wrongdoing if the matter had already become public. Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his Kesef Mishnah commentary, claimed that the Rambam held this opinion as well, and that only in instances of sins committed against God and that have not been made public is it improper for one to publicly confess. Summary. A penitent sinner should accustom himself to pray to God for forgiveness, give charity, distance himself from the matter regarding which he sinned, and in some circumstances, even change his name and his location. It is proper to publicly confess one's sin, except in the case of a sin committed against God that has not been made public. The Kabbalah Center recommends the following procedure in the writings of Rabbi Yehuda Berg. Here's a practical exercise for facing your dirty dishes, is the way Yehuda Berg expresses the title. Go through your old emails, date book, or calendar and jog your memory. Recall those moments when you treated others poorly and did nothing about it. If it helps, jot down a list and keep it with you to remind you. Then do your best to clear the air with those people. Of course, be realistic. Our list is probably long, and our chances of remembering and getting in touch with everyone are slim. The thing is, if we can really come clean with one person, it is as though we have done it with everyone on the list. Once you focus on who you need to deal with, take yourself through the following three-step process. You must go through all three steps if you want to truly clean the slate and prevent it from happening again. Regret, think about the incidents. Remorse, imagine the pain the other person felt because of you. Resolution. Resolve to yourself that you will not react this way again. This last step is crucial. Whatever the situation was, it was only a test. It will come back to us again. If we do these three steps correctly, we'll get the opportunity to react, but we won't even consider it as an option. There are many deep secrets hidden in these words of Rabbi Yehuda Berg, and we will go through many of them in our teachings later tonight and next week and the week after. Rabbi Moshe Kaplan wrote an essay titled Teshuvah, The National Goal or a Private Matter? Part 1, Yachid and Tzibur, Individual and Community. Our time, our generation, is one of great upheaval. Dramatic historic events are occurring at a frantic pace. A new world order is emerging out of the collapsing Russian Empire. This was written in the 90s. The severed limb of Russian Jewry is being reconnected to the Jewish nation as the land of Israel welcomes its people home to Zion. The exile is literally drawing to a close with every passing hour as tens of thousands of Jews arrive at Ben-Gurion Airport to take up new residence in the land of their fathers. The process of transforming the Jewish people from a group of individuals scattered among the nations to a nation reborn on its own soil advances dramatically with each successive wave of Aliyah. This transformation demands that we broaden our Torah concepts to encompass the reality of our restored existence as a sovereign nation. Since our generation has experienced a resurgence of Teshuvah in this era of national revival, it is essential to elaborate on the concept of Teshuvah and its relationship to the return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. A Teshuvah that relates only to Tefillin, Kashrut, and Shabbat is incomplete because the Teshuvah of each individual Jew is actually only a part of a much greater historical process of Teshuvah. Judaism was meant to be not only a religion for individuals, but as the great rabbi, the Or Sameach, reminds us in his commentary to the Torah, God does not rest his name on the individual. He states that the Torah was given to the nation as a whole and can only be kept in its entirety by the whole nation. There's a tremendous secret in that statement. By his connection to the Klal, the national entity, the nation, the individual takes on an infinitely greater importance and significance. He is then linked to the blessing and divine connection of the nation. And even his individual life and actions are imbued with the infinite significance of the Klal, of which he is part. The converse is also true, that when a person separates himself from the nation, he severs his link to eternity. He who separates himself from the tzibur, from the community, even though he has no sins, has no part in the world to come, a teaching of the Rambam. The divine ideal transcends the individual and is expressed through him. Therefore, keeping the Torah is not a private affair between the individual and God, but rather stems from his being part of the national whole. This is why, before the performance of mitzvot, that we say that we do so in the name of all of Israel. This is the paragraph, L'Shem Yehud, which is said by the Sephardic people. The Ashkenazim do not say this. Our prayers are in the plural form, praying for the good of the nation, as the Vilna Gaon clearly writes that it is forbidden to pray for one's private needs, rather for the perfection of Am Yisrael, the people of Israel. At the beginning of many Siddurim, the words of the Ari HaKadosh are cited, that before every prayer one should accept upon himself the mitzvah of love thy neighbor as thyself, to love all of Israel, and thus connect oneself to the nation. The oneness of Israel is the foundation upon which all Torah, mitzvot, and Yirat Shemaim, fear of heaven, are built. Only when this unity was attained were we able to receive the Torah. This is so because the Torah is the divine content and ideal of an entire nation that ultimately revitalizes all human culture, restores harmony to the world, and brings to fulfillment all of creation. The sources and footnotes for these numbers above are available upon request. The Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, teaches the best period of doing tshuva for wrong sexual acts is Shovavim. Shovavim is the 6-week period from the week of Shmot to Mishpatim. It's not in Elul and Tishrei. It's in the period of Tevet and Shvat. This period will come in the period of January 2013. As we know, the lower level of Teshuvah is done in 4 steps: acknowledging the action, confessing the action, asking forgiveness, making restitution. The higher level of Teshuvah takes a number of additional steps leading up to the concept of back to the future. Restitution can be difficult to do in the area of sex acts. The sages then prioritize different methods of making restitution between ourselves and Hashem. Our sages recommended one or more of the following rituals to be done during this period. And while this is discussing the period of Shovavim, these statements apply in our period as well. Tanit, which are fasts, dawn to dusk fasts, at least once, some people do it twice per week. The preferred day is Thursday, if done once, or Monday and Thursday, but any day will do. That's not when you wake up and say, I'm going to fast today. To do a fast, you have to announce it the afternoon before the day. So it's still light here where I am. I could announce that I'm doing a fast now and fast tomorrow. That could be my once per week if I were to do that. I'm just using this as an example. The better days to do it is either Monday or Thursday. There is a procedure called Gilgul HaShelek. Translation is rolling in the snow. This makes restitution for all wrong sexual actions in this and in every previous incarnation. And I highly recommend, if you live in an area where there is snow and you're able to find a area where you can roll in the snow, not ice, not snow that is melted and reformed, but fresh snow, you end up rolling in it. The procedure, you roll in it in the nude after midnight. So it obviously needs to be a place where the public cannot view it. But I highly recommend this procedure, and anybody interested in knowing this procedure should write me, and I'll be happy to teach it to you. It's an amazing experience. A Tanit HaDibur, a fast of words. This is done on Shabbat. During this specific Shabbat, one only says words of Torah, including reading all 150 Psalms 3 times. No other words may be said. No hellos, no goodbyes, Nothing but words of Torah leave your lips. It's a very difficult correction. If one is unable to do the fast mentioned in number one, one may give tzedakah in place of the fast. And this is due to the level of the generation. With the Baal Shem Tov teaches that we are no longer allowed to fast because we are so far spiritually and so weak physically. We need to eat every day. There are 4 days of fasts, and other than that, we are not allowed to fast. There are 4 holidays where we fast. Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, the fast of Gedalia, and the 10th of Tevet. There's also the fast of Esther, and the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, but it's all part of this discussion. But it is better to do a fast other than those by giving tzedakah. Remember, the restitution part of this ritual should only be done as part of the full process of teshuvah. Doing these fasts and doing these actions without the whole process makes it incomplete. What do we learn from the writings by the sages? There's a difference between mistakes made against Hashem and mistakes made against other entities. The procedure for tshuva is different if this mistake is against God or if it is against another entity. If tshuva is done fully and completely, this trait will never be seen in any other person in your life. I need to explain this as a very real teaching. The Baal Shem Tov, the Ari, many sages teach that this world was created, this universe was created for you. And my universe was created for me. Therefore, anything that happens in my universe is a mirror for me to be able to see myself. If I have truly done teshuvah, I will never see that trait again. The story is told about Moshe the Ganef, Moshe the thief, and the Baal Shem Tov, his Rebbe. How can a thief have a Rebbe, especially the Baal Shem Tov? Come and listen. Come and learn. Every time Moshe stole a big item, he ran to the Baal Shem Tov and asked for a blessing so that the police would not find him. And the Baal Shem Tov proceeded to give him that blessing. And the police knew about him. They knew everything about him, and they never arrested him. They never touched him because he had the blessing of the Baal Shem Tov. Moshe decided that he'd heard the story, a rich count was coming to town. He was going to steal what the count brought with him, a suitcase filled with golden rubles, something like 50,000 golden rubles. He was going to steal the case, get his blessing, and this was going to be the last theft he ever did. And that's exactly what happened up to a point. He stole the suitcase. The police knew who stole it because no one else had the chutzpah to steal it. No one else would have been capable of doing it except Moshe the Ganef, who had the skill of a thief. And every every action takes skill, even that of theft. Moshe runs to the Baal Shem Tov, and when he arrives at his house, he's told that the Baal Shem Tov has passed away. So Moshe's beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. He thinks, let me speak to who took over from him. He says, well, we're in mourning. You know, we're sitting Sheva. Nobody's taken over from him. But his chief disciple is the Magid de Mezrich. So Moshe goes to see the Magid de Mezrich. The Magid welcomes him to his home. Moshe tells him the story of how the Baal Shem Tov always gave him a blessing after he stole. And he needs a blessing from a tzaddik. Please give him the blessing so the police won't catch him. Magid de Mezrich is just so affronted. So he throws him out. What do you mean the Baal Shem Tov gave you a blessing to steal? That's not the Baal Shem Tov I know. You're lying. Get out of here, thief. And he throws him out of his home. Moshe is beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. He can't go home. He can't go to any of his normal haunts because the police are waiting for him. They know he stole it. They just can't find him yet. But they're about to throw him into jail as soon as they see him. So he runs to the forest. He runs to hide. And he cries himself to sleep on a bed of pine needles in the middle of the forest in the darkest of nights. And in his sleep, he has a dream, and the Baal Shem Tov comes to him. And he tells him, go to see my grandson. Tell my grandson this key word, this key phrase, and he will give you the blessing. Moshe is very relieved, and he goes to the grandson, and he gets the blessing. And the police never find him. The police give up chasing him. And he never stole again. In fact, he became a tzaddik in his own right and made his own what's called courts in the Hasidic movement. Chabad is a court. The Satmirs is a court. These different Hasidic organizations are called courts. And Moshe de Ganef made his own court. And he became a true tzaddik, a true teacher, a true spiritual guide. Now, what does this story have to do with teshuvah? And what does this story have to do with this idea that if teshuvah is done completely, you will never see this trait again? The Baal Shem Tov, in his lifetime, never stole. He was a righteous man from the moment he was born. Yes, he had things to repair. He had to repair with the Gaon de Vilna that didn't succeed in this lifetime, in that lifetime. But essentially, he was a righteous man. He never stole. And therefore, he had the inability to see theft in another human being. Because the only reason another human being is in your life is to show you yourself. Since the Baal Shem Tov didn't need to do teshuvah for theft, he couldn't see it in the Ganef. He couldn't see Moshe as a Ganef. What did he see Moshe as? He saw him as a man doing spiritual work and doing a process and becoming a tzaddik. And of course he would give a blessing to anybody in the process of becoming a tzaddik, which is every one of you and every other human being, because the Torah teaches we will all reach the level of tzaddikim in our process. We are in process, because once we reach the level of tzaddik, we do not return. We do not have to return. Teshuvah is a mitzvah. The Baal Shem Tov could not see theft because he did not need to do teshuvah. But anything that you see in another human being is a mirror for you. It's an area that you may need to do teshuvah. The above essays indicate that teshuvah must be done individually and collectively. There are four of the 72 names that help and assist us in the teshuvah process. Vav Hei Vav, number one. The first of the 72 names, and its code word is time travel, as in the process of going back to the future, which will be discussed next week or the week after. Yud Lamed Yud, the second of the 72 names, has a code word of recapturing the sparks. And this is useful from the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, related above from the book, You Are Who You Hate. Hey Aleph Aleph, the 26th name in the 72 names, is a code word for returning order from chaos. When we do a negative action, we create chaos coming back into our life. When we do teshuvah, we return order and stop the chaos. Mem Vav Mem, the 72nd name of the 72 names, is a code word for spiritual cleansing, which is another, although less complete, name for teshuvah. It says next week we'll be talking about the month of Elul, but actually next week we will be talking about other things, continuing our discussion of teshuvah. Does anyone have any questions or comments? I'm going to change the controls on the conference call so you can just speak out. Feel free to ask your questions.
Whenever you talk about need to speak, where do you speak, how do you speak, what does that mean? At the beginning you were talking about you need to use your words in your repentance.
When you confess a sin, when you identify the mistake that you made, this is using words to identify. This is what is meant by what the Rambam said.
But where do you use them? How do you use them? I mean, let's say that it's a sin that I do not have to confess publicly. Then what do I do in terms of my words?
You confess it privately. There is no private. We are never private because Hashem is always watching. Hashem is always there. Hashem is always assisting us. So while we may say, "All right, I don't have to confess publicly. I don't have to stand up in front of a crowd and say, I stole. But I can say to Hashem, you know, I wasted time, and I took time away from Torah time to do something that was really a waste of my time. And that was a sin against Hashem, and I'm sorry for that. Those kinds of words that you do privately in your own prayers and meditations are the words that you speak. We'll discuss this in great detail next week, because next week we're going to be talking about the confession. The national confession prayer, as well as the utilization of that prayer for developing our list of items to determine what we should do teshuvah upon for this year.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
No.
Okay. Jack, do you have anything?
I think he didn't stay.
No, he's on. He's just on the video conference, not on the telephone conference. But he doesn't have any questions yet. So a few announcements. Tonight is a very powerful day. It's the most powerful night and day tomorrow in the Hebrew calendar that is not a holiday. So tonight at 9 p.m. California time, which I know can be late in New York, Bacha, but it's we'll have a connection to Tu B'Av, to connecting to your soulmate, to connecting to strengthening your relationships. We'll be doing a short session of probably 45 minutes of teaching about this holiday and about the male-female relationships. At 8 o'clock tonight, California time, I have a class, my normal class on Mashiach, where we will do a very short session on that. And then we are going to do this class all over again Sunday morning at 10 a.m. When I say all over again, the class I did Tuesday and the class I did tonight are one complete class. They're one full subject. And I plan to do Sunday both sections in unity. So the flow will be a little bit easier if you want to hear it again. And as we all know, when we hear the same material again in Kabbalah, even though we've heard it before, we didn't hear it the same way each time. And there are parts that we heard that didn't resonate and didn't stay with us. And hearing this kind of material over and over is very beneficial in this period that is an opportunity to return to Hashem. Any questions or comments?
Yes, no. Tonight's class. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't have any.
Oh, I heard. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I do have a question. On the class tonight at, did you say 9 o'clock your time on the soulmate thing?
No,
is that
9 o'clock West Coast time. So it's going to be midnight your time, Bacha.
Yes. So the connecting with the soulmate, is that like one that you've already met, or it doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It'll strengthen if you haven't met your soulmate, it will strengthen the connection, spiritual connection between you and your soulmate, and may remove the block that's keeping you apart.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mara, do you have any questions?
No, thank you. I need to digest it.
Yeah. There's a lot here. There's a lot here. And we have 9 more weeks to absorb it. So.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Don't try and do everything at once. Just take it step by step.
Thank you. It was very good. I'll try to connect tonight also.
Have a beautiful evening.
Bye.
I'll speak to you again tonight.
Bye-bye.
Shalom all.
Shalom. Good night.
Bye-bye.